enforce our borders. I think we should enforce our borders. To have a situation where 40% of the babies born on Medicaid in California today are born of illegal immigrants creates a very real problem for the state, which is in deficit.
Look, of course you can enforce the borders.
Let me finish.
I agree.
To have 17% of our prison population at a cost of $300 million a year be illegal immigrants who come here and commit felonies. That's not what this nation is all about.
Of course.
Contrary to her current stand, Dianne Feinstein, just a few years ago, was in favor of sending illegals back home again. God love her, bless her heart, she's a politician. She's a leftist. She's a, quote, progressive, end quote. Pardon me, I'm air quoting at the same time. And God love her, she's got to be completely and totally flexible as far as reality and the truth are concerned. Hi, good morning. Mark Congleton here. It's The Daily Perspective. Glad you're along. Thank you for joining us as we have a little fun with the daily news and observations about that news here on this daily podcast. If you're joining us on Facebook Live, you're on the live feed. Congratulations. Glad to have you along. It's good to have you here. Share the fun with your friends. Let them know that we do this every day, that you and I get together. We have a little fun. We look at the daily news and look at what's going on behind the news, what you don't get in the soundbite media, or as I've seen referred to lately, the mockingbird media, which I think is just a brilliant description of the mainstream press, the progressive press. They just hear something and repeat it. They don't even do a good job of sourcing their stories anymore. And we'll get into that in a little while when it comes to tear gas on the border, but wow, when I've told you again and again, you can't trust the progressive press. You just can't. I've told you, turn off the evening news. Don't watch it anymore. Spend a little time on your mobile device or on your computer and do a little searching on your own. Find some alternative news sources. Now, there are dangers in doing that, yes, on both sides of the truth. Because there are people on the left who will blatantly lie about what's going on, and 99% of what they put out there is just their warped opinion based on nothing but their emotion. And then there are some people on the right who are equally as wacky, and you have to watch your information sourcing. But if you're an honest person, if you're honest with yourself, and you're honest about life, it won't take you long to get a good gut sense for who's lying to you. Or who's just telling you what they want you to hear? Who's just being mockingbirds and repeating what they've been told? And who is actually looking into things? You'll get a good gut feeling for that. And that's what I encourage you to do. Because, honestly, you're not getting the whole story. When you think about it, the way the news, the current cable news system is set up, they don't have time to give you a whole story. They just have time to give you what will hold your attention for long enough to get to the next commercial break. And when they get to the next commercial break, they tease for the next outrageous thing they'll be talking about to hold you through the commercial break, because the commercial break is where they make their money. That's what it all boils down to. It's not about truth. It's not about accuracy. It's about keeping those advertisers. Now, let's be honest. I'm all about the advertisers. In fact, I can handle an advertiser or two or three here on the podcast. I would love to have the income coming in. But the thing is, when you sacrifice truth for the bottom line, you're doing everybody involved a disservice. You're doing a disservice to the people paying to advertise with you because they're advertising in something that is not delivering the truth. You're doing a disservice to your audience because you're not telling them the whole story. You're just keeping them baited for long enough to listen or watch your advertisers. And you're doing yourself a disservice because your credibility is getting diminished day by day by day. There is a balance. There is a way to do it. It can be done. Sadly, we're not seeing a lot of it in the news today, especially the major networks. When they do their evening news, wow, you're not even getting the icing on the donut. You're just getting the sprinkles. That's all you're getting. So from now on, think of the evening news on the major networks as just the sprinkles on the donut. And you really want the whole donut, don't you? Yeah, you know you do. Today, we're going to be looking at a handful of things. Why did Twitter ban Jesse Kelly? Will we ever know? I have an idea. I'll dig into that. Twitter is outright banning people for basically being truthful. I talked a little bit about this yesterday, but it's a policy now. And the source of the policy is pretty strange. Matt Walsh is asking some questions about transgenderism. He says no leftist can answer these questions. We'll take a look at these five questions coming up in just a little while. And tear gas on the border. Is it unusual? Is it something that is unheard of? Or was it actually a regular occurrence during the Obama administration and we just really never heard about it? We'll take a look at that too as the Daily Perspective continues. But first up, let's go to the story about Jesse Kelly. Now, Jesse was on Tucker Carlson's show last night on Fox News, and I caught his interview, and I have here about 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes and 10 seconds, including Tucker's setup, and it's an edit that just kind of gets down to the core of what he had to say about being banned from Twitter.
Jesse Kelly is a two-time congressional candidate. He hosts a radio show in Houston. Just a few months ago, he came on this show and predicted that Twitter eventually would censor him. You wrote this piece that I thought was really compelling about Alex Jones, and you said, look, I don't agree with Alex Jones's views, but that's not the point. The point, as you articulated, was if you can silence this guy because you don't like what he says, why can't they silence you or me?
That is the point, Tucker, and they're coming for you and me next.
Well, Kelly turned out to be right. Just this past Sunday, yesterday, Twitter shut down his account, and they did not explain why. Tonight, we're trying to find out what happened. Jesse Kelly joins us live. Jesse, thanks a lot for coming on. You knew this was coming. You presciently predicted it. Why did Twitter take you off its platform?
Nobody knows. Twitter kicked me off the platform because I was a mainstream voice on the right that spoke the truth, Tucker, and that's all anybody knows. They've given me no explanation, as they told Congress they would give explanations. All they sent was an email that said you are permanently banned and you can't appeal it for repeated rules violations, only I don't violate their rules. I don't cuss at people on there. I don't harass people on there. I don't do any of those ugly things that some people do. So Twitter's going to become what they are. All of a sudden, my account vanished like a Hillary Clinton email. In fact, once they banish your account, it wasn't a suspension. They completely banished me, so I'm not even able to log in and email Twitter's support. A friend of mine sent me a couple email addresses for people that supposedly work at Twitter, but I'm sure they're not going to answer any of those. They did exactly what I said they would do. They came for Alex Jones first because he's a nut job and they wanted to see how the right would react. They got him, and I knew they were coming for me. They'll come for you too, because these radical voices on the left never get censored. Even Farrakhan, that complete scumbag that has a tweet still up comparing Jews to termites, he still has an account, but I post things about Velveeta and mine gets banished.
Mm. And it's true. Innocuous comments, inside jokes, you know, just little asides about things from a different perspective than the progressives appreciate, get you reported to Twitter. And I have a suspicion that that's what's happened to Jesse Kelly. He has a radio show in Houston, and I have a feeling that he's probably ruffled enough progressive feathers in the Houston area. By the way, Houston, very liberal. It's a very liberal city in Texas. And he's probably made enough liberals mad there that they have just waged a campaign against him to report him to Twitter. Every time he gets back on, they just start reporting him again. And I think that's probably, this is just me, kind of putting the pieces together through the fog. This is what I think has happened to him. I think that he is the victim of a campaign, a hate campaign from the left to get him shut down, because his attitude, you can hear from his attitude that he looks at everything through a lens of absurdity, which is healthy. It's very healthy because he can look at something and joke about it, even though it's in a way, it's harmful. He can still look at it and joke about it because it's so far removed from honesty and reality. It's just a joke. So I think that's what he's done. Now, he wrote an article. He's a writer for The Federalist, thefederalist.com. If you haven't looked at the website, I suggest that you do and that you follow them on social media as well, because they post some really good stuff, some stuff that you need to know. And here's what that article has to say. Let's see if we can get through it before the break. I try my best not to complain about the curveballs of life that come my way, but I wish people understood the tremendous burden that comes with being a clairvoyant genius who sees the future. You see, Twitter banned my account yesterday. They did not suspend it. They banned it. I had almost 80,000 followers, and those poor people are now left aimlessly wandering in the social media landscape in search of a greatness they'll never find again. Now, I don't really care, because I'm just going to start a new account, and it'll be better, even better, than my last one, if that's possible. This isn't about me. This is about what kind of country we've become, and what kind of country we want to be. We have become a nation of sensitive losers who care about words. We care about how things make us feel. The exception these days is the man who just wants to put his talent and his thoughts in the marketplace of ideas and see if people will buy it. That man is rare today. But it was not always so. The American man used to be one who threw his family in a covered wagon and headed west into the wilderness. The American man used to be one who found out the Japanese had attacked men he didn't know in a state he'd never visited, so he ran down to the recruiting office to enlist in the Marines. That American man still exists, but he's an endangered species. The American spirit of free speech has been replaced by people who want uncomfortable speech censored. Nowhere is this more apparent than the social media world. As I have said before, social media is not a small thing. It is no longer three nerds with pocket protectors huddled in their dorm rooms dreaming about a day when a woman acknowledges their existence. Social media has surpassed the telephone. It is the means of networking and communicating with others. 2.5 billion people use Facebook and Twitter. That is not a fringe thing that is going away. It has now become the way humans interact with each other. It is completely run by Silicon Valley leftists who know the power they hold, and they are using that power. But power is a funny thing. Power, no matter how ominous it may seem at the time, is always finite. It doesn't last forever. If there is one thing history has taught us, it's that silencing voices will always be a temporary solution. Censorship is a horrible thing, but it has one fatal flaw. It doesn't work. Voices break out. They cannot be contained. Twitter banning me from their platform only hurts them in the long run. They'll continue to marginalize themselves, and I will continue to grow. I enjoy talking politics, and I enjoy entertaining people. I don't need Twitter to do it. I've got a successful radio show. I'm blessed to have a network of friends who share and promote each other's ideas. But the bigger questions are, where does it end? How do we accommodate dissent? Is silencing the voices we don't like likely to lead to a better society? What happens to the voices that are silenced? Are we doing ourselves a favor by forcing conformity to doctrines that are antithetical to the core values of many Americans? We'll figure out the answers to these questions. We'll solve these problems. We'll learn to disagree agreeably and to give voice to those with whom we vehemently disagree. Twitter won't. But America is better than Twitter. Always has been. Now, that's a great article. You have to agree. That's a great article, and his perspective is dead on. Twitter is making a ginormous mistake that has been made in the past. As people seek to censor, to silence dissenting voices. Every time they have, those dissenting voices have prevailed. Especially when those dissenting voices are voices of reality and truth. Now, if they are dissenting voices of the imaginations of the fringe, they tend to die away eventually, to morph into other things which also die away eventually. But people who are representing reality, their views will always rise again. Just watch it happening. Like I said, he's a successful radio guy in Houston. He's stirred the pot, ruffled the feathers, and I think what's happened is enough people in Houston have griped and complained about him that Twitter just said, all right, that's enough. I don't think he's a martyr, but I think he is an example of the overreach of the left. More when we continue here on The Daily Perspective. You are listening to The Daily Perspective with little old me, Mark Congleton. Glad you're along today. So, I have to ask, I just have to ask, have you done it yet? Have you signed up for the Daily Perspective newsletter? Come on, it's easy. Just go to our Facebook pages, the Mark and Mac Show page or the Daily Perspective page. Click the sign up button and get on board and get a daily dose of this perspective of the world, the universe, life, everything except the number 42. It's a daily newsletter that brings you, among other things, the notes of every day's show. Say what I do. I know you're thinking, don't you post those on social media and such? Yeah, I do. I post the edited version. You don't get everything in my stack. Everything in the stack. I don't get to everything during the course of the podcast because I've set myself a time limit of an hour. I mean, think about it. That's an hour is a long podcast in the world of podcasting. It's a pretty long podcast. Just ask Mike Rowe. But the an hour only gives me so much time. And I stack up enough stuff to make sure I get through that hour and some beyond. You just never know. Things may happen. I may have time. I may be able to blow through some things. Things may change. Things may develop in the course of the program itself. So there's more there. And you, if you subscribe to the newsletter, then you get every bit of that, plus my little reminder notes that I put in between things from time to time to remind me to hit on certain things in relation to those stories. And that kind of simplifies your personal edification, if I may use a $2 word, and that is that you now have links to stories to help you get some insight into things, besides just hearing me talk about them. So subscribe today, get signed up, and before you know it, you'll be well-informed and amazing your friends and relatives, and they won't invite you to parties anymore. Alrighty, let's get back to the Twitterverse, because life in the Twitterverse is pretty weird. Twitter has banned the practice of misgendering, as well as a term it calls deadnaming, in an effort to crack down on offending transgender people. Yeah, okay, let's explain what those words are. Misgendering is the practice of referring to a person with a pronoun, you know, he or she, that does not correlate with that person's gender identity. An example, calling a woman if she says she's a man. Okay? Or like referring to Caitlyn Jenner as that dude that used to be on the cereal box. You know, the guy that won the gold medals. That guy. Yes. Something like that. If you do that on Twitter and you're high profile enough, and I have to add that in there, if you're high profile enough to get enough attention, then next thing you know, they're slapping you on the wrist. No, no, no. That's wrong. You can't misgender people. All right. Now, then there's deadnaming. Deadnaming is using a transgender person's former name instead of their new chosen name. Back to Caitlyn Jenner. If you insist on calling Caitlyn, who, according to science, real science, whose DNA is still male, making Caitlyn Jenner really Bruce Jenner. If you refer to Caitlyn Jenner as Bruce Jenner on Twitter, they'll slap you on the wrist again. If you continue to do so, they'll end up pulling the plug on you. In response to the myriad offenses engaging in such practices cause, Twitter has decided to ban misgendering and deadnaming. Do you feel like you have to have... Are you like me? Do you feel like your dictionary should be a loose leaf? You know, so you can just open the binder up and add new pages? Because every day, I swear, every day, the progressive movement is coming up with new terms, new terminology. They're inventing new words to describe what offends them every day. Well, Twitter has reportedly rolled out the policy, did it in October, but the update only gained momentum over the last couple of weeks. The social media giant's hateful conduct policy now includes such act as repeated or non-consensual slurs, epithets, racist and sexist tropes, or other content that degrades someone. Quote, "We prohibit targeting individuals with repeated slurs, tropes, or other content that intends to dehumanize, degrade, or reinforce negative or harmful stereotypes about a protected category." Twitter's code of conduct now reads, quote, "This includes targeted misgendering or deadnaming of transgender individuals," end quote. The punishment for such infractions? Well, that includes, but not limited to, suspension of a person or entity's Twitter account, meaning your personal account if you're using your personal account, or your business's account, or your show, your media show's account, or whatever. Moving on, quote, the guidelines read, "When determining the penalty for violating this policy, we consider a number of factors, including but not limited to the severity of the violation and an individual's previous record of rule violations. For example, we may ask someone to remove the violating content and serve a period of time in read-only mode," meaning they can't tweet, "before they can tweet again. Subsequent violations will lead to longer read-only periods and may eventually result in permanent account suspension. If an account is engaging primarily in abusive behavior or is deemed to have shared a violent threat, we will permanently suspend the account upon initial review." A lot of the platform's users celebrated the move, said it was long overdue. Others were adamant that the notion stepped all over free speech and heavily promoted censorship. Conservative commentator Ben Shapiro, he kills me sometimes, and this is one of those times. He wrote, "So, Twitter is now banning people for stating the basic scientific fact that men are men and women are women, and that men cannot become women simply by thinking themselves so." Twitter versus reality. It's progressivism versus reality, if you want to get down to it. So, Twitter can and will punish you for stating the truth. Now, they will say they've covered themselves by saying that it has to be intentional, that it has to be, that they consider the number of factors, including but not limited to the severity of the violation, and previous record of rule violations and the like. Now, that in itself is bizarre, because if you, live in Houston, Texas and have a radio show and you've offended a lot of weenie progressives and they keep reporting you, then Twitter will pull the plug on you, as we have seen. So, this is their standard now. They have a standard, which, by the way, is very fluid. It's very flexible. They have to continually change it because progressives have this dictionary, which has to be, it has to be the loose leaf dictionary, because it's constantly changing and being updated by what they're offended by. So the policy at Twitter is going to have to keep changing. Now, you may be saying, well, that's an infringement of my freedom of speech. Yes and no. I'm not intimately familiar with the regulations, but Twitter falls under a category that protects them from that kind of reference. I mean, you can't say they're infringing on your freedom of speech because of the type of situation they're under. And also, they are not Congress. They are they're in an interesting situation. They are a private business. And the way I see it is, it's a lot like if you walked into, I don't know, if you walked into Chick-fil-A and started spouting obscenity, the management and ownership of Chick-fil-A could politely ask you to leave, or politely ask you to watch your language. And when you refuse to, they would politely ask you to leave. And when you refuse to, they would have you removed. Now, I'm not defending Twitter here. I'm just trying to put some things in perspective. Know who you're dealing with. If the business you're dealing with is hostile to you because of your view of life, you may not want to do business with them anymore. And I think that's what this boils down to. It's something to think about. Do you really want to keep doing business with Twitter when they insist on throwing you out for telling the truth? Something to keep thinking about. Up next, some questions which demand answers that leftists just can't deliver. As the Daily Perspective continues. Thank you for being here for the Daily Perspective. I really appreciate it. And I hope you are appreciating what's happening here on this pokey little daily podcast. Make sure you share it with your friends. Let your friends know what's happening here. Invite them to the party. We're here every morning on Facebook Live at 8 a.m. Central. And, of course, that show is available afterwards on Facebook. It pops up on Facebook, and I try to get the links out there to all the social media outlets so that you can stumble across it wherever you may happen to be. And let's see, what else? Oh, yeah. The podcast itself is available in audio form only. You can subscribe to it. You can go to iTunes and subscribe to The Daily Perspective. You can also, it's also the Mark and Mac Show podcast. That's what's happening now on the Mark and Mac Show channel for the podcast. So just, you know, keeping things alive here. We've got the podcast rolling, and you can subscribe to it through iTunes or the Google Podcast app. You can get it either way. And also, if you're on TuneIn Radio, which, by the way, I got to say, even though TuneIn Radio just, they don't communicate very well on the back room level, when you're trying to get them to do things, they just don't communicate very well. When you try to get something changed or updated, and it takes them a couple of days to get back to you, and it's just like, this is 2018. I can respond to somebody almost immediately, and sometimes I don't because, I'll get around to it, but come on, it's your clients, please. But anyway, when it comes to delivering a product, they do a great job. The podcast is available on the TuneIn Radio app. If you search for the Mark and Mac Show, what you get is this podcast. And that's pretty doggone cool, if you ask me. So you can grab the podcast through the TuneIn Radio app. Just another aside about TuneIn. I used the TuneIn Radio app on my recent road trip to New Orleans. And I listened to the Alabama-Auburn game on the way back home. And the Alabama football actually has their own channel on TuneIn. So on the weekends, if you happen to be anywhere, I mean anywhere, and you can't get near a TV or you can keep up with what's happening with Alabama football. And I'm sure that Auburn football has one as well. I just happened to search it that way and came up, and I listened to Eli Gold call the game from on the road in South Mississippi all the way back home again without interruption. And it was pretty cool. And the quality was just absolutely amazing. It was just great. But that's my little tip of the hat to TuneIn. They're doing a great job. They really are. And so you can find us that way as well. I feel like I'm the conductor and just took the train right off the tracks. It's the Daily Perspective. What else is new? Well, Twitter has stepped up its war on reality. That's what Matt Walsh has said on his blog, and I got to tell you, I think he's right on the money. He's right on the money. Last week, Twitter permanently banned a feminist who committed the unconscionable sin of repeatedly insisting that men aren't women. That's exactly right. This past weekend, the company clarified its stance on the issue. According to the new rules, you're not allowed to engage in any slurs or tropes that might offend transgender individuals. These slurs and tropes include misgendering or deadnaming a transgender person. Of course, misgender means referring to a person by their biological, that is, their actual sex. Deadnaming sounds like a code word the CIA might use, but apparently it means calling a transgender woman by his original name, male name, or a transgender man by her original female name. Any of these offenses might earn you a permanent ban from the platform. Some conservatives seem surprised by the increased attempts to silence those who acknowledge and affirm biological realities. I'm only surprised by their surprise. This was always inevitable, and it will only get worse from here. After all, what other choice does the left have? They literally cannot engage with the other side of this debate because there is no debate. Transgenderism is an article of faith. It has no reference in physical reality. It cannot be defended logically or scientifically. If they're going to maintain their radical theory of gender, they can only do it through intimidation and force. The leftist proposition on this topic is so divorced from reason, so utterly indefensible, that they cannot even explain their own view, let alone defend it against an intellectual challenge. They can only issue assertions and then shout ad hominems at anyone who refuses to immediately believe and adopt their philosophy wholesale. To demonstrate this fact, here are five very basic questions that any proponent of transgenderism and gender fluidity should be able to answer easily, but cannot. 1. How precisely does a biological male become or come to the conclusion that he is really a woman? 2. If he arrives at this conclusion based on the fact that he feels like a woman, how does he know what it feels like to be a woman? 3. What exactly is a female feeling? 4. Even if it made sense to speak of female feelings and female thoughts, and even if it were possible for a man to know for certain that he is experiencing those feelings and thoughts, in what objective sense do those feelings and thoughts make him a woman rather than simply a feminine man? And 5. But the left tells us that gender is a social construct. They reject the idea that women must necessarily have any particular feeling or thought or taste or preference. If gender is indeed an artificial construct, and our physical features have no bearing on our identity as man or woman, then what in the hell is a woman? A woman in that case is not defined by her feelings, thoughts, ideas, preferences, or her body, reproductive organs, chromosomes, DNA, etc. So what is she defined by? If he isn't defined by anything, then how does it make sense to call yourself a woman? Isn't that like calling yourself a who's a what's it or a thingamadoodle? Isn't woman now a term empty of all objective meaning? I've never heard any leftist offer a satisfactory answer to these questions. Rarely have I seen anyone even attempt to answer. That's because there is no answer. They're proposing square circles. They're insisting on something that is not only scientifically but logically impossible. All they can do with such an insistence is insist it. Only logical propositions can be explained and defended, so they don't bother. And why should they? If they can make their ideas mandatory, it doesn't matter that the ideas are absurd. If they can make their ideas mandatory, it doesn't matter that the ideas are absurd. Progressives, as I've told you again and again, and I know I sound like a broken record, progressives believe themselves to be both morally and intellectually superior to everyone else. That includes me, that includes you. Progressives believe they are morally and intellectually superior. They do not have to explain themselves to you. At some point in the conversation, they will say, "You just wouldn't understand." How many times have you heard that or had that come back to you in a discussion on social media? "You can't understand. You're not going through it." You can't understand. You're not me. You can't understand. Insert condition here. You can't understand. You're intellectually incapable. For whatever reason. And because of that, you are also morally inferior. Because your morals have to be based on your intellect. So if you're too stupid to understand why, then you're incapable of rising to the level of righteousness demanded by their cause. This is a bizarre situation. And Matt Walsh sums it up very nicely, I think. Now, I have found that people tend to either love or hate Matt Walsh. He is that polarizing. And that says to me, he's hitting the nail squarely on the head. Because people either love him or they hate him. He tends to be very blunt. He sees things a certain way. He sees things in black and white, and he points them out that way. Progressives will say you can't do that because there are so many gray areas in life. And to that I say what I have always said. Gray areas, if you look closely enough, gray areas are made up of lots of little bitty black and white areas. So saying that something is a gray area just means you don't want to look any closer at it. And what we have right now is progressivism denying reality, denying biological medical science. They are denying the real world in order to embrace the fantasy. Because emotionally it suits their purposes. And as far as they're concerned, you're too stupid and too mean to understand it, so they don't have to explain themselves to you. That's what we're dealing with, friends. Which is why it's so important to be honest with yourself and the world around you. Never buy the lie. Never sell the lie. More when the Daily Perspective continues. This is the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, handling hosting duties. Hi, how are you? Glad you're logged today. Well, we've been talking about various and sundry topics today, and it's time to get back to what's happened on the border. Because what's happening on the border is being twisted and misshapen into something it actually isn't. The hysteria over the use of tear gas on the border is one of the things that caught me. Was Hollywood stars having a meltdown, just going absolutely insane, demanding that the president be impeached or commanding that this happen. And in the average person, I actually saw some responses on Twitter last night from people saying, "Oh no, this is not the same as it ever was before." Because the president has commanded that things be done. The president, this horrible, racist, awful man has set the tone. And now these people are being treated with cruelty. And I just have to scratch my head and wonder what planet these people are on. Because it's not the same planet I'm on. Not the same planet you're on. And they're just all, you know, one of the things, actually, a politician actually posted and then deleted a tweet, by the way. This possibly could be transgressing some sort of an international law about using chemical weapons in warfare. Well, for one thing, it's not warfare. And for another thing, they aren't chemical weapons. It's tear gas. I mean, police departments use tear gas. And did you know that the Border Patrol has used tear gas a lot? You just don't ever hear about it. This same tear gas agent, the Trump administration, has been taking heat for deploying against the border over the weekend, actually was used fairly frequently, including more than once a month during the latter years of President Obama's administration. That's according not to just some right-wing news outlet. That's according to Homeland Security data. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has used this formulation called CS. There's a much longer formulation, which I can't pronounce, so I'm just going to call it CS. Besides, it's just, I'm looking at it now. It looks like somebody just shuffled the alphabet. Anyway, the Border Patrol, U.S. Customs, has been using this CS gas since 2010 and deployed it 26 times in 2012, 27 times in 2013. Now, use of it dropped after that, but it was still deployed 3 times in 2016, Mr. Obama's final full year in office. 3 times. Did you ever hear about it? Did you? Of course you didn't hear about it. Of course you didn't. The use of CS rose again in 2017. It was split between Obama and Trump. It reached 29 deployments in fiscal 2018. That ended 2 months ago. This is according to CBP data, which was seen by the Washington Times. This is where this information is coming from. Border authorities also use another agent, a pepper spray, frequently, including a decade-high record of 151 instances in 2013. Also under Mr. Obama. Pepper spray, officially known as Pava Capsaicin, was used 43 times in 2018. 151 times in 2013 under Obama, 43 times this year, according to the Border Patrol numbers. The data poses a challenge to the current anger over the Border Patrol's use of tear gas. To prevent a mob from bursting through sections of the old border fence in California Sunday. Critics, including Latin American leaders, immigrants, rights advocates, congressional Democrats, they've said the use of tear gas is un-American. Well, it was just as un-American back under Obama. But you were too starry-eyed to talk about it back then. Dianne Feinstein, Senator Dianne Feinstein, who we opened the show with talking about illegals, Senator Dianne Feinstein, said, it's horrifying to see tear gas used on mothers and young children as they seek refuge in the United States. That's not what America should be. By the way, those mothers and young children, according to Border Patrol agents, half of them are Hispanic, by the way, the Border Patrol agents. Border Patrol agents witnessed how this happened. These people rushed the fence. They grabbed the women and children and shoved them to the front. What did I say a couple of weeks ago? Who would be in the front when they hit the fences? Women and children. Those were the photo op people. They wanted those women and children faces on camera. That's what they wanted. They grabbed those women and children and shoved them to the front. And then when the tear gas started getting deployed, they held those women and children in the front, used them as human shields, and threw rocks at the Border Patrol. Well, actually, they threw rocks and the Border Patrol started the tear gas. They used women and children as human shields to hide behind while they threw rocks. Did you see that story anywhere? No, you didn't. Other Democrats complained about the threats of deadly force against the border incursions, which saw migrants punch through fencing, launching rocks and bottles at agents who responded to stem the intrusion. Brandon Judd, president of the National Border Patrol Council, took umbrage at the outrage, questioning where the critics were when tear gas was deployed under Mr. Obama. Quote, this policy that we use was an Obama-written policy, and it was used in 2013 at the same port of entry. That's what he told CNN, wondering in particular about the intense media interest now versus then. Quote, the facts are the policy written under President Obama allows us to use tear gas to disperse a crowd that was very dangerous. Aaron Burnett at CNN scoffed at Mr. Judd's facts, saying the agents were using tear gas against women and children this weekend. He countered by saying the tear gas was not deployed at the children. He said the migrants were attempting to use them as human shields. Some 9,000 members of the migrant caravans were camped in Baja California along the U.S.-Mexican border, plotting their attempts to enter the U.S., according to Mexican press accounts. Mexican authorities have said 500 migrants were involved in the attempts to storm the border. Some U.S. officials have put the number even higher. Mexican said it has deported 98 caravan members it has identified as part of the violence and chaos. There were some arrested that got through the fence on our side. And Mexico is seeing an uptick in voluntary deportation. Since this happened Sunday, the number of people that they see daily saying, yeah, this is not what I wanted, I want to go home, has doubled. Now, don't get the idea that's a ton of people, because before it was only about 15 people a day. Now it's about 30. But they're beginning to see they were lied to. The people who manipulated these people for political purposes, and make no mistake about it, that's exactly what's happening, is that these people were sold a lie to persuade them to join the caravan and come to the United States of America. They were basically told they'd be able to just walk in. They were lied to. They were told that there were plenty of jobs here, and that they could just walk across the border and go find work and make money. They were lied to. These people are finding that it's not what they were told, and they're deciding, let's just pack the bags and go home. Get your backpack, kids. We're headed back home. They were lied to. And they were lied to by an organized group. And that organized group organized all of this for the imagery, for the video footage, for the photos. The photo that we talked about yesterday with that mother and the children, that's what they were looking for. You know, since we talked about that yesterday, source after source after source has said, hey, did you notice that photo? Does it look staged to you? After we talked about it yesterday morning here. Yeah, I think a lot of this stuff has been staged just for the photo ops and the video cameras in order to damage the Trump administration and to give Democrats increased leverage when it comes to election time. That's what they're working on, damaging the country and our president for political power and control. And that's what they're all about. Never forget it. They're morally and intellectually superior to you, and they will do anything possible for the sake of power and control. Anything. And we'll look at more of those things tomorrow on the midweek edition of the Daily Perspective. God bless you. Bye-bye.